lesson tonight was, Are You a Fool? And appreciate Eddie reading what he read for us there, that Psalms 14. It'll be a passage we refer to in just a moment, but the first verse was the main thing that applied, so appreciate Eddie having that reading. Simply, the first slide was going to say that the Bible mentions a fool often. It's in there quite a bit, and the one thing is we definitely don't want to be a fool, do we? We don't want to be marked as one. It kind of means silly, doesn't it? Can mean stupid. It can even have the connotation of being wicked. So we do not want to be marked as a fool. I think I will grab a chalk here, since I am a guy that likes to see things. At least I'll write a few things up to me as I go. Definition there. And one of the things a fool does is what Eddie read for us there. Psalms 14, verse 1, it said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So we'll say, says, there is no God. You know, a lot of wise people out there, aren't there? And truly, the older we grow, the more amazed we are with what people have figured out. Scientists and things of that nature. How electricity works and splitting the atom and on it goes. And the power we've harnessed. Technology. But some of these brightest men are truly what the Bible would say is a fool. The same men that have science that say it's impossible for things to happen will go over here and say, I don't believe there's a God. I will not accept it. And even though mathematics shows me it's statistically impossible that could ever happen, I don't believe it. It blew up, and this happened from amoebas and monkeys and stuff. So even some of our brightest, brilliant people are fools. They will not believe there's a God. They say there's no God. There's atheists. There's humanists, aren't there? There's ungodly. There's immoral. These people, the Bible would say, are a fool. The psalmist would say that. Another thing a fool does, we're going to have a lot of psalms and proverbs in our reading, but in Proverbs 15:5, we find something else out about a fool. He despises father's instruction. That's something a fool will do. Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. One that listens to reproof is wise. To despise that means like scorn it, look down on it. And we've all seen that, probably in person. Maybe we've done it. Maybe our children have done it. We've certainly seen it depicted on TV shows and things, and probably at least seen other kids do it in restaurants. But instruction comes, and we've seen the wise young cracker. He's not going to listen, is he? Dad might say, you know, if you do this way, you're going to get hurt. I don't care what Dad says, right? And he goes out and he gets hurt. The fool despises his father's instruction. This happens in earthly life, but it also happens in spiritual life, doesn't it? As we'll probably see in some verses tonight, God has given us wisdom where not to walk, what not to do, and so on and so on, where we should be, where we shouldn't be. And the fool doesn't listen. And he's smart aleck, isn't he? And he goes right on his own way, and he pays for it. Happens with employees, doesn't it? In the business place, you might tell a guy, you know, it'd be easier. Here's something I learned from experience a while ago. Do it this way, you know, not going to listen. So they despise instruction. Something that would make you a fool. You know, another thing about a fool, Proverbs 12:16. Proverbs 12:16, and we all find ourselves happy to challenge ourselves to not be this, don't we? There's areas we all have weakness, but quick to anger. That might not be something that comes to your mind about, boy, that'd be a fool to be quick to anger. But the Bible says a fool is quick to anger. Proverbs 12:16, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. Another verse similar to that, Proverbs 14:17. Just a couple Proverbs over. Proverbs 14:17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. We've probably all experienced that situation that wouldn't have been so bad if we hadn't have got angry quick. You know, we've misread the situation maybe. Someone, you ever been where you get all riled up and then they let you rant for a while and then you finally stop and they're like, well, you misunderstood me. Here's what I meant. And you're like, oh, okay. Not a problem. You know, after you made an idiot of yourself. But I'll give you an account here. There was one day I came here, and just a few people know this, but I was tired that night. I mean, I was so tired, and I truly that night thought, you know, I might not go, and I don't usually ever think that, and I was just so tired, so I'll come, and Brother Greg came up to me and said something, and I was heading out the door. I'm just trying to get out the door, and so I flew off on him, and I let him have it for a while, and when I went up the road a ways, I stood up the gas car, standing there like, you know, I do already, you know, just done something crazy. You're going to have to make that right, but just didn't make it out the door before you knew. Whew, what a crazy thing. But we all do that. That sometimes we can, and we can get better, but we're a fool if we don't harness that wrath and anger that you can't reason with that person. It's called flying off the handle. You know, when I made this lesson a while back, I hadn't really thought about that. You ever had an axe or a pick and you go, and it just takes, the head flies off? No control. It's gone. That's what that probably means, is fly off the handle. It's just crazy. And we've got to be careful that we don't fly off the handle. We'll be a fool, make a fool of ourselves. Proverbs 16:32, another verse. Pretty interesting. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. So God, Proverbs, there are saying, if you can control yourself, you're greater than mighty warriors. You're greater than the conqueror of a city if you can control your anger. One more verse from the New Testament, and we'll move on from this one. James 1, 19 through 20. James 1, 19 through 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So it's just advice from James about how, you know, be slow to speak. Think. Take your time and be swift to hear, right? I think the saying something along the line of, you've never learned anything while you're talking, right? Sometimes we take what we've already learned, and as we talk it out. We might come to a better conclusion, but you've never actually learned anything while you're talking. It takes somebody else telling you or reading, doesn't it? Not learning while you're talking. So be swift to hear. Listen to what others say. Be slow to say anything, and certainly be slow to wrath. Else you'll make yourself a fool. You know, 2 Chronicles 16:7, kind of around the time frame, I think, of what we've been studying in the morning Bible class. But 2 Chronicles 16:7, we find out that the fool does not rely on God. Now that's pretty interesting. We take it upon ourselves to not trust in God and rely on Him. We're making ourselves out to be a fool. 2 Chronicles 16:7, and at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah. He said to him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the lubums or lumbums, a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen. Yet because thou did rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. So the prophet or the seer is just letting Asa know, when you relied on God, he gave the Syrians and the things that he gave all these others, the Lubims, the Ethiopians, into your hand. But now you've tried to make your own allegiances and alliances. You didn't trust in God. Those enemies are going to have you, and you're going to have wars from here on out because you didn't rely on God. And that's something we hopefully learn about as we grow older, too. I remember as a young guy right out of college, seeing on people's computers, I'm trying to remember, you know, that little saying about, Lord, give me the knowledge or the wisdom to know the things that I can't change and the things that I can, and, you know, something along the line of the ones that you can't change to trust in God. So, you know, that's something as we grow. We have to learn that we can't control everything. Sometimes we feel like, whew, it's out of control here. And we have to have faith in God that he'll provide for us. He'll make everything turn out right. He'll answer our prayers and things of that nature. Another thing about a fool, back in the Proverbs there again, Proverbs 14, 15. Proverbs 14, verse 15. Something the fool does is believes every word. Believes every word. Proverbs 14, 15. The simple or the fool believeth every word, but the prudent or the wise man looketh well to his going. So, we've seen people like this. They're gullible, we might say, right? You tell them to do something and, you know, I've got the power off. Go ahead and stick your finger in there. And, you know, it's like they're gullible. They believe everything. And that makes you a fool, doesn't it? The wise man thinks. He watches his step. He researches, if you will. He uses logic. He might check and make things sure. He might check another source. We'll read another verse here and have some more comments. Another verse would be 1 John 4, verse 1. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So in 1 John, he's saying, you know, don't believe every spirit. So again, this helps us physically in this material world, and it helps us spiritually. Spiritually, you can't believe every word either. We've got so many doctrines going around, so many interpretations of things that you've got to search and see if that's what's in the Bible. You've got to search and see if other passages agree with what you're hearing. Someone might be wrong. I think we've all maybe taught something that we later in life think, you know, I've changed my mind a little bit on that. You know, I've learned, I've grown, or a different angle. Maybe there's more meaning to it. Maybe you had a little of the meaning and there was more, but try every spirit. We won't read it, but 1 Kings 13, you remember that old prophet, if you will, and the young prophet? In 1 Kings 13, we know the one was older. We don't necessarily know the one was younger, but it's kind of implied that the one was at least younger than the old guy. But trying to remember what all happened, I should have reviewed, but it wasn't too many weeks ago. I know we talked about it, but a young man traveling, he wasn't supposed to eat with anybody, was he? Wasn't supposed to, I believe, return the same way. And he even once or twice stood up for that. He said, you know, hey, I'm not allowed. I have to do this. But the older prophet sends a message to him, or gets a message to him that, hey, I believe he says an angel had told him that it was all right for him to eat. And the young prophet goes in and, you know, eats and finds out while he's there that it was a lie. He lied to me. So the younger prophet kind of made a mistake, didn't he? He should have maybe researched more. He should have went with what he first told. He was told, you know. He knew the first source was right. Don't eat with anybody. And he was lied to. And he dies because of it. That's where the lion was standing by his carcass. And then the older prophet, for whatever reason, actually gets to the body and buries it, I believe, in things. But he was lied to, and he believed it. So we need to be careful. It can cost us our spiritual life in hell, can't it? If we believe the wrong thing, it's amazing how many will openly tell you, again, you don't need to be baptized to be saved. You don't need to faithfully assemble. You don't need to do this or you don't need to do that. And it's false, some of the things they tell you. And then on the other hand, it's amazing some of the things they tell you need to do. Even in the Bible, some are saying, you need to be circumcised. You need to do this. You might need to keep Sabbaths and holy days. You need to do that. And not correct. They don't see the difference between the old law and the new law and things of that nature. So we need to not believe every word, but investigate and learn. Another thing about the fool, 1 Samuel 13. 1 Samuel 13, this is where Samuel doesn't show up for a while. We have Saul there. But the fool doesn't keep God's commands. First Samuel 13:8. Doesn't keep God's commands. He tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed to Saul there. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. Samuel said, what hast thou done? You can almost hear the drama in that voice. Say, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal. I have not made supplication to the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. Almost like, to me, I read into that he's, you know, justifying that. I forced myself to do this. I needed to be done. And Samuel says to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the command of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. So Saul's hearing right there, your lineage would have had the throne forever. But you've sinned, and God's going to take it from you. And there was no excuse for Saul. Not of the tribe of Levi, not a priest, you know, not obeying what Samuel the prophet of God told him to do. Wait for me. Apparently, probably wasn't the end of the seventh day yet, was it? Samuel showed up right after that. Right, you know, it was on the seventh day, like he said. And Saul's like, well, you didn't come. And so I decided, I forced myself to do this. Lost everything, basically, didn't he, because of that. That was almost a turning point. When Saul first started, he was actually doing great things as a king. And there was even a point where some who doubted him wanted to kill those who stood against him. And Saul even said, no, that no one will die today in Israel. So great. And then things turned. And this is like one of the turning points where he starts making terrible decisions as a king. You know, even if God's slow to respond to you, it doesn't justify not keeping his commands. Even if nobody else is doing it and you're the only one, it doesn't justify not doing his commands. And even if they're burdensome to you, it doesn't justify not keeping God's commands. We must keep them or we'll be a fool. The fool does another thing in Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30, the fool lifts up himself. Proverbs 30, verse 32. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood, so the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. So it's almost like in the first verse there, you lift up yourself, you're foolish. We know God, lifts up the humble. He abases the proud. We know that. We've learned that in Scripture. One of the few things that pleases the Lord that we need to do is, walk humbly. Walk humbly. One of three things mentioned in Micah of what we need to do. Walk humbly before the Lord. Don't lift yourself up. It's like he says, if you've done evil, have enough wisdom to lay your hand on the mouth. Know when to shut up, not to say things, not to talk, and things of that nature. And he said, that last verse is pretty interesting. You can't take milk and keep on churning it and not get the result of churning the milk, right? It's going to yield a butter or a whipped texture there if you whip the milk. And if you go around popping people in the nose, he said, it's going to bring a bloody nose. It can't help but be so. The wringing of the nose brings blood. And he says one that goes around forcing, and the word actually means forcing there, churning and stirring. Churning and stirring, that's exactly what that word means. It brings forth strife. When you go around churning and poking what you know is anger, it's going to bring up strife. It will be so. It can't be helped. So the fool does these things. He lifts up himself, and I would even take it down on the next verse, he causes strife and problems. Proverbs 14. Something else the fool does. Proverbs 14 is he plays with evil. The fool plays with evil. Proverbs 14:16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. So wise man sees it, is mature enough to resist the temptation or to step aside from it, and he departs from evil. The fool is like, what? He's like, I'm strong enough. I can handle it. And he ends up falling into a trap, doesn't he? Proverbs 6, another verse on playing with evil. Proverbs 6, verse 24. Proverbs 6, 24. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids, for by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread. The adulteress will hunt for the precious life. And this is a phrase that I was thinking of in that last one where the churning of butter and stuff. He says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? There are results of churning butter and punching a nose and stirring wrath and taking fire into your bosom. Can one go on hot coals and his feet not be burned? So is he that goes to his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her won't be innocent. Pride goes before a fall, I wrote down. We've all seen someone that won't listen and get hurt, haven't we? We see safety procedures and policies, don't we? And the guy doesn't listen. And at some point, something goes wrong. He gets the piece of firewood in his eye because he wasn't wearing safety glasses or something of that nature. And it happens spiritually too, doesn't it? We have a lot of counsel in the Scriptures. We've had some, like Brother Greg again, have classes and mention as an elderly man, he said, I give you this advice. He gave advice on visiting and working with others in their homes. And it's not, it might be like Paul. He could have simply said, the Lord didn't say this, I'm saying this. That's kind of what Greg would say, it's not in the Bible, but here's what I recommend. And you don't have to take his advice, but you'd be a fool, wouldn't you? Not to heed the counsel of one trying to give you spiritual advice. And the fool plays with evil, goes where he shouldn't go. Proverbs 14 again, there's been a lot in Proverbs 14, hasn't there? The fool inherits folly. And Proverbs 14:18 says the simple or the fool inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. So foolish man, this is silliness, foolishness. That's all the fool gets. Nothing worth having. But the prudent wise man, he gets, among other, crowned with knowledge. Gets surrounded with it, hedged with it. He gets knowledge. Closed in. So that's just kind of an important thing. We see people who do crazy things with their earthly heritages, don't we? That gets nothing. You know, we had an old neighbor, this makes me think of him, that back home, before he died, he started giving my dad several things. He saw that my dad took care of stuff, and he said, "Tim, I want you to have that." And Dad's like, "No, you're kidding." He said, "My kid's going to hawk it off, going to tear it up, they're going to do nothing with it." And so he'd give Dad this, he'd give Dad that. And sure enough, like that old man said, when he passed, that daughter, just within no time, she had nothing. She had sold, she had got rid of, she had wasted, and had absolutely nothing. So the old man knew what he was talking about, wasn't he? The foolishness ruined the inheritance, if you will. So the fool inherits folly, but a wise man gets knowledge. You know what? Wise man might not get a lot of riches, might he? Adam was asking yesterday about, you know, how you try to do a job and get money, but then you want to be nice and not make money, right? And things of that nature. And I was like, "You're right." I said, "That's a challenge as a Christian, isn't it?" So it's an interesting thing. A wise man might not ever be a rich man, but he'll have knowledge. He'll have a reputation, won't he? And things of that nature. And the fool gets nothing. Gets nothing. It might seem like he has a lot, but someday he gets nothing. Here's an interesting one. Proverbs 9. I'm going to say that the fool is loud. Might not have seen that one coming. The fool is loud. Proverbs 9, verse 13. Says Proverbs 9, 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. And we're going to read more, but that word really means loud. Talking. Foolish woman is clamorous. She's simple, like a fool, and knoweth nothing. She sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. So, I had a sermon recently when I came across that, and that word clamorous was in the other one, so it really stuck out to me, because I'm thinking there was another meaning of the word clamor. It can mean quarrelsome, I think was the other meaning. Clamorous can mean quarrelsome, but here's kind of loud. So, isn't it true when, take a second to think of those ladies in your life that you respect, you think of as godly women, things of that nature. We could think of more that just a woman that has earned your respect. And are they loud, domineering, forceful people of that nature? Or is it a meek, the person you think of, is it a meek, quiet lady that she's got a strong spirit, but she's not quarrelsome, she's not, you know, she's submissive, if you will, but yet you know, she's not going to be walked over. She's quiet nature. Now think of the women that you see in the workplace or wherever who don't have a good reputation. What kind of women are they usually? Talky. Talking all the time, making noise and babbling around. And we can see how a godly woman is usually quiet and meek, humble, submissive woman, isn't she? So the clamorous woman, and we'll say a man, is a fool, aren't we? Someone who is a fool likes to talk, even when they don't know what they're talking about. Fool trusts in his own heart. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, verse 26. He that trusteth his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. And, you know, for some reason, some don't like to ask directions, right? We might pick on the men now, but in life, sometimes you need to ask somebody, hey, what would you do here? You know, I need help. Here's what I think. You know, Tim Deavery say, I asked his advice on something. You know, it's like, I think I know what to do, but, you know, what should we do here? You know, what's wise? Because sometimes we don't see something that somebody else sees right off the bat or has a different approach. It's a wise thing. So don't trust your own heart. Make sure the Lord's opinion's in there somewhere, that you take time to get it. Proverbs 14:12, again back in Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14:12, familiar verse. There's a way that seemeth right to a man at the end thereof, the ways of the death. Can't trust your own heart, it bring you death. And one other verse on that, Jeremiah 10:23. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. So Jeremiah was saying, I know I can't direct my own steps. And he said, God, you know, be patient when you correct me. Don't do it in your anger, or you will strike me to nothing. Please be patient when you deal with me, Lord. Another thing, and I think this is one, and a couple more here, a couple more. 1 Corinthians 15, the feel of the fool. Boy, my brain's going in another direction. The fool doesn't realize must die to live. That's getting a little deeper, isn't it? The fool doesn't realize that you must die to live. 1 Corinthians 15:35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that will be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Some will not accept this. I like Lynn's point this morning, the first fruits again. Jesus has already went there. You're living. This should give us confidence. It's already been a proven fact. We're just waiting. And here, some are fretting and worrying. Well, what's it going to be like? How can I die here? Or someone ruined my grave and my body, you know, it's gone. But don't worry about it. Paul says, it's like grain that's planted. What went down in there is nothing like what will come out of there. God will bring it out, an immortal, incorruptible body. Just plant it like grain and it'll come back. Can't help but remember the time I had Ronnie Hazelbaker in class. And that, Betty might remember this, it really stuck to him that day. Something along this line. And I said something about a cat and how that cat stank and stuff on the road. And I can't remember exactly what Ronnie said, but that he understood. And it's like, how can that be? You know, that a stinky rotting, how could a body be like that and come back to life? But God says he's got the power. Don't worry about the grain. That's the way it has to be. You know, it's the same spiritually. We've got to die to sin before we can live spiritually, don't we? We have to die to live. We'll just suffer and have nothing but trouble in our spiritual life unless we die to sin and then try to live. The fool, I'll put it up here maybe. The fool will die. Psalms 49, we'll read. Fool will die quickly. The chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah, Psalms 49. Hear this, all ye people, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. A lot said there, but basically, the fool dies. But you know what? The wise man dies too, doesn't he? In this, we are no different, are we? In the end, the fool and the wise man will die. He seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish. In this, there is no difference. Whether we are wise or a fool, we will die. And we need to be preparing for it. And the fool is not rich towards God. And we're going to have to quit because we're out of boardroom. That's the last one. We'll just put it up. Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and I'll bestow my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich towards God. So the fool is not rich towards God. God said, lay up treasures in heaven, right? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Fool doesn't take time to think about what's important in this life and what's important about the afterlife. Some of the things we've said tonight is the fool says there's no God. Fool despises his father's instruction. He's quick to anger. I guess I did give you a good list up here to remember by, didn't I? He does not rely on God. He believes every word. Doesn't keep God's commands. That was Saul. He lifts up himself. He plays with evil. He gets close to it. Think about going to the edge. You see that guy going over to the edge and I can get closer and falls. And we've seen it happen, haven't we? And I'm trying to think. I know it was an example recently where a guy went and just fell over. It's like, what are you doing? And people are doing that with their spiritual life, aren't they? They inherit folly. They don't get anything meaningful like knowledge that the wise man gets. Fool is loud, is a clamorous person. They trust in their own heart and their own wisdom instead of God's ways. They don't realize about they got to die to live. They got to follow Christ, you know, take up his cross here and give up their own desires. And they are not rich towards God. And then by way of invitation, I had one verse. We know that you got to hear the gospel, believe it, repent of your sins, confess you believe Christ is God, and be faithful, be baptized, and be faithful. And in Luke 12:20, and it might have been one we just had, God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be that thou hast provided? So are you ready for God? Or are you being a fool? If we can help anybody in any way, let it be known as we stand.